Tony and Jenny Brewski here from Real Ghost Stories Online. There has never been a better time than now to be an EPP, extra podcast person, to Real Ghost Stories Online.
There's more exclusive content than ever before.
Plus, our new EPP website is up and running where you can access all of our exclusive content anywhere you want on any device. Exclusive video, all of the archived episodes, it's all there when you sign up to be an EPP at realghoststoriesonline.com.
It's only $5 a month.
And that goes to keeping our show on the air and alive. Sign up now, become an EPP, and enjoy all of the bonus episodes for yourself when you sign up at realghoststoriesonline.com. Just click Become an EPP.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802. Or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You are about to enter the world of the unknown, and quite possibly, the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
And on today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online, after a near-death experience, a listener finds that a familiar presence is at the foot of his hospital bed. A grandmother teaches a little girl lots of things about being a housewife, and then a few unexpected skills as well. And a family experiences the worst possible type of residual haunting. And an avid listener is unsure if he has listened to too many shows or if he had his own paranormal experience. We'll help him decide. Those stories, your calls, and more today on Real Ghost Stories Online. Tony and Jenny Brewski joining you once again.
How are you?
I am doing mighty fine.
Good.
And how are you?
I'm good.
Well, that's lovely.
Thanks.
I'm excited about these stories. I also have a letter that I got the other day from a listener that we'll talk about. We've talked about the Traverse City Commons is what it is. It used to be the, I think it was called the Traverse City State Hospital years and years and years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the creepy place in Traverse City we've talked about that. It's now, you know, boutique shops, restaurants, and assisted living.
Because
it always melts together like that. That always makes the most sense. But this is someone who listens to us there in Traverse City, who was actually an employee there in the 70s when it was in its asylum days.
Oh, gosh.
And it talks about some of the stuff that that she did there. Not necessarily paranormal in that part, but it takes us a inside and gives us kind of a look at what life was like in there.
Mm-hmm.
And then also a story from her daughter, who has worked there in its latest inception. She was an employee at the restaurant there.
Okay.
And there is some paranormal stuff there.
Sure.
So I'm excited to share that. This is a letter I got in last week, and I've been waiting to share it until you got back onto the show.
Okay.
Since we've talked about it so much, so I'm excited to share that story as well here on today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. And of course, you guys keep our show alive, and you're an EPP. It's $5 a month. Thank you in advance for doing that. If you're planning on doing it, if you already are one, thank you so much. You get all the bonus content. Check out all that bonus content. You can see what it is. You just can't listen to it until you sign up to become an EPP. When you click become an EPP, takes you over to the EPP site, and you can see all of it there right in front of you. Not just us talking about it anymore.
Mm-hmm.
You can literally see just how much is up there, and we do update that all throughout the month, new one every week, and other sprinklings of stuff in there beyond just the bonus weekly episode. So check that out, you guys. Let's kick off the show today with our first letter. And our first letter today is coming into us from John. It says, my ghost story begins when I was 3. I had pneumonia, and the only drug back then to combat it was penicillin, which I'm allergic to. Only after my story did my mom relate the following. My dad, who died when I was 5, would stand at the foot of my small bed and pray. Fast forward to me being 35. I got hepatitis, courtesy of off a dirty needle. By the time I got to the hospital, I was so out of it, my liver function was 23%. I could not provide my own name, birth date, nothing. I do remember the doctor telling my wife I was either going home or to a funeral home. It was up to me. The first 5 days in my room were a blur. IV bags being changed, last rites every day, but I slowly came around. My mom, after being told I was going to make a full recovery, was still jumpy, like she was somewhere else. I wrote this off to her son almost dying. Discharge day, I was a lovely shade of yellow, but I was going home. Around 4 a.m., I awoke and there was someone at the foot of my bed. I thought, really? Vitals? At 4 a.m.? My eyes adjusted and I made out a man. And slowly things clicked. Same shirt, same smile. He was just looking at me. My father had come to say goodbye. I looked at the clock next to him. Yes, the second hand was ticking, and this was no dream. We stared at each other for what I thought was a long time, but was probably seconds. Then he vanished. There was no cold sensation, flickering of lights, just gone. As a matter of fact, I felt at ease and relaxed. It took a year, but I told my mom. She then told me she felt very uncomfortable in that room because I had almost died there as a baby. It was the same room, hospital, and out of three local hospitals I could have been rushed to, it was that one. My wife said she felt cheated not having met him, and a few days later a man knocked on the door looking for Jack, my dad's nickname for me. Only after she saw a photo of my dad in his younger days did she swear up and down it was my father. Not a very scary story, but one that is special to me.
That is a neat story. And you know, they don't all have to be scary to still
sure
get to you.
No, I mean, that's, do you think it was the dad coming? I mean, what if she had interacted more? Would he have sat down and had a cup of coffee?
I would imagine he probably wouldn't have interacted that much anyway.
It was just, hey, there you go.
Mm-hmm.
See me, I'm gone. You'll figure this out. Connect the dots later.
Sure.
Yeah. Very interesting story. Now, the father coming to say goodbye, I don't understand what was meant by that.
Well, maybe he came to say goodbye because he was about to die, not the father.
Yeah.
Son.
Did he, like, the ghost was confused, thinking maybe my son's about to die?
That, or maybe he's like, I'm not going to watch out for you anymore. Not in a bad way,
sure,
but just like.
Maybe he was the one that was summoned in.
Could be.
And came to watch while he was getting better. And now that it was done and he was about to be discharged, it was,
mm-hmm,
hey, hope that all worked out for you.
Or maybe it was just because they probably didn't get to say goodbye when he died.
Sure.
All those years ago.
Do you think energy in a room like that, where it was literally the same hospital, same room, and so many things happened to that individual,
mm-hmm,
do you think energy and things, paranormal things of a nature, would be more likely to happen in that room than to those people versus some other random people being put into that room because another thing had happened to them? It'd be like being a family member going into a haunted house that was your grandparents' house that was emotionally charged, that you had a lot of happy memories in. And are you more likely to have a paranormal experience in that house, you being the grandchild of the people in that house, versus some ghost hunters coming in that have no connection? You get what I'm saying?
I do get what you're saying, and I think you're onto something, because in this particular case, it was evident that his mom was very jumpy because it brought back a lot of bad,
mm-hmm,
negative memories of almost losing a three-year-old.
Mm-hmm.
And I think when you have memories and emotions and things like that that are going on, I think it can stir it up maybe faster.
Sure.
Or you might be more sensitive to it because of those things versus somebody who has no prior history with that room or the haunted house or whatever example you want to use.
Essentially, like, it's like the emotional or the, emotional memory, for lack of a better term, of a room.
Mm-hmm.
Or emotional energy that a room is storing or the objects in a certain place store. Are they then expelled easier when that person who expelled them into that room returns years later? And I think it makes sense.
See, I think it's less about the room and more about the effect of the room on the person.
Yeah, that's exactly what I mean.
Okay.
I mean, it's whatever it is, whether it be an object or a room, or it's those two things coming back together.
Yeah.
It's like the person is the battery.
Mm-hmm.
And when the battery goes out, it's, you know, when it gets recharged and then it comes back in, it works fine again. Mm-hmm. If you put somebody else into that room, it's like a whole different battery.
Okay.
You know, and, but if that same one keeps coming back, there's, you know, I don't know. Maybe it's, I'm trying to like grasp for a good analogy here, but I think you understand. You understand what I'm saying. I hope they understand what I'm saying.
Well, I think you're saying that you're talking about energy held within the room.
Yeah. Only coming out for specific people at specific times because of previous events.
Okay,
in those rooms.
And see, that's not what I was saying. What okay. I was saying is I don't think it has to do with the energy in the room.
Okay.
So much as it has to do with the emotions brought up by that person and mm-hmm. the negativity that they feel just being in that
place. Oh, okay. Has nothing to do with, okay. See, so, I'm wondering about the energy of it being all-encompassing with the room itself.
And in reality, it's probably a combination of the two.
Okay. I get what you're saying, too.
Okay.
I don't know if anyone else understands what we're saying.
No.
I hope they do. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost story with us. Josephine writes in, "Hi, I'm Josephine and I'm from Sweden. Here we go. The stories I'm about to tell you happened to my two best friends who happen to be sisters. They've always been happening at their home. I've always had an eerie feeling whenever I'm there. Almost like someone's watching you. Both of them have now moved away from home. The paranormal events only happened at the two of them. Or to the two of them, never to any parents. One of my friends were especially targeted by the paranormal. We can call her Nia. Their mommy's always been somewhat dismissive of the whole thing, but is usually a believer of the paranormal. I guess it's hard to believe that things could happen in your own home, so Nia has always told me about her experiences and pretty much no one else. The stories are from when me and my friends were between 14 to 17 years old. It all started a few months after they moved in. It started with three hard knocks on the front door. It happened multiple times with a few weeks apart. When they answered the front door, no one was there. If it would have been a real person knocking, the steps on the patio would have been heard long before the knock, since their patio is really loud and is located right by the kitchen windows. Later on, other things started to happen. Cabinet doors in the kitchen started opening and closing by themselves. The knocks in and around the house could be heard. I have myself experienced that. One time, a box of colored pencils that were stored in a drawer in a computer desk flew out and landed in the middle of the room, turned upside down. Luckily, none of them were in the room at the time, but they went and checked when they heard the thud of it landing. No pets were in the room and no one else was home. The following story is about Nia. Her room was located in the basement. It's sort of a two-story house, but the second floor is like in the basement, if that makes any sense. She shares a basement with a storage room and a laundry room. Other than that, she's mostly all by herself down there. A lot of stuff has happened in her room, but I'm going to tell you the scariest ones of the stories. She could wake up in the middle of the night by music playing from the laundry room. Sometimes it's jazz music or other sorts of regular music. No other classical scary music, just regular stuff. When she steps out of her room, the music stops. This continues a few times until she falls asleep again. She has also been experiencing odd physical feelings and sounds. She sat by her desk in the computer chair looking at TV. She had her head turned towards the TV, leaving the left side of her head towards the computer screen and some fluorescent lamp that's located underneath the shelves above her desk. She suddenly heard a loud crashing sound, like the lamps have exploded. Then a warm feeling spread on the left side of her head, almost like she had glass fragments penetrating her skull and scalp. She thought to herself, "Okay, I am now bleeding like crazy from my head. What do I do?" And felt her head. She turned towards the lights and computer. Nothing was broken and the warm feeling on her head was gone. She then heard a small clicking noise when something fell and landed on the floor. A small piece of hard plastic. We don't know until this day where that piece of plastic came from. I have no idea what it means and we'll probably never know. Nia is a perfectionist and cleans all the time, so this piece of plastic would never have been in her room in the first place. Another time, she had witnessed a dark apparition in her room. I almost want to say anomaly. There we go. Anomaly. There we go. Sound it out, Tony. It's one of those where you just get stuck.
Yeah.
Because I'm five. It was an anomaly because this was no person. She sat in the same place as usual, by her computer, but facing the TV. In the corner of her eye, she can see her couch and bed. This bed is located in an alcove and has curtains around it, so in the corner of her eye, she can see something moving. She turned her head and sees a round ball of blackness. Moved along the wall above the bed, down the top of the bed, disappear underneath the bed so the curtains would move. She ran out of the room and didn't go down there until someone came home. The last thing she ever experienced in that house before moving out was that something or someone woke her up by leaning close to her face and blowing air in it. She woke up and thought she dreamt it all, turning around and fell back to sleep. She got woken up again by an even harder blow of air, but the breeze had a sound this time. Imagine standing next to a helicopter and feeling the wind of the propeller in your face together with the sound. Let's say that she did not fall back asleep after that. That's the stories I have this time. I really love your show and listen to it all the time. Looking forward to becoming an EPP soon. And next time, I'm going to write about the crazy experiences my dad had when he was younger. Until then, sleep tight.
You know, there's some hauntings that just make no sense at all.
Mm-hmm.
But you know it's going on. And there's really no reason to the activity, why it's blowing in your face, why it's, you know, trying to give you the sensation of bleeding or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just one of those things. There's just really no figuring that out.
Is it dark? Is it not dark? You know, is it? Yeah, I have no way. I mean, if I were to guess, I'm going to guess there's multiple things going on here in this house.
Okay.
And I'm wondering if other things happened to other people in that house as well that have not been communicated back and forth.
Mm-hmm.
Because, I mean, some of these things sound like all not that great, like, you know, the sense of bleeding and being injured and all of a sudden not. And then some of them are just like, oh, air in my face.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a very hard one to paranormally diagnose.
Yeah,
I guess. But thank you for the story. We really do appreciate that. Our phone number here is 855-853-4802 to share your real ghost story with us. It was interesting, the part where she talked about hearing the creepy music in the background. You had an experience like that the other day, but it turned out not to be so paranormal.
No, it has to do with a toddler and a radio, and somehow she flipped it to the AM side, and it was playing old country music, like 1950s old country music.
Uh-huh.
And it was down so low, I had a hard time figuring out where it was coming from, because the radio looked like it was off, and then I went over to it, and it was like, it's a digital radio, it was at level one on the volume, and I was like, okay, that's all.
But it was just enough where it's like, where is that coming from?
It kind of freaked me for a little bit.
It's, I've had that happen with clock radios.
Mm-hmm.
You're not alone in feeling like, where on earth is that coming from?
Mm-hmm.
What's the worst is like that. And then when you have some static going on too, where then it almost goes to like just white noise. And then sometimes it's like, what the hell is that?
Mm-hmm.
And the last thing I usually think of is the radio, which should be the first thing I should think of. But I've had multiple times where I'm just kind of wandering around, like, what on earth is going on?
Sure.
But were you disappointed that it wasn't a ghost radio?
I was relieved. And the reason I know it was Harper is because it's got the CD player that she uses for her little Mickey Mouse CDs and stuff.
Yeah.
So she just must have hit the wrong button, but it's enough to scare me.
I think she actually plotted. I think she thought, I'm going to put this to one and turn on real classic country music, and I'm going to go take my nap.
Yeah.
And mommy's going to wonder what the hell is going on.
Yep.
That's exactly what
I'm
she
sure
did.
That's and it.
She'd do her hands together in the evil laugh.
Mm-hmm.
And that would be, that's her.
Yep, that's her.
855-853-4802, our phone number to call in your real ghost story. Write it on the website, realghoststoriesonline.com. If you'd like to help us grow the show, well, tell a friend about it. Let them know about the show on social media, Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, Reddit, whatever you may use. Let someone know about the show. That helps us grow this little thing. And pressing subscribe certainly helps as well. iTunes, Stitcher, YouTube, TuneIn Radio, Spotify. There's a lot of them. Whatever you're listening to us on. Blog Talk Radio, we're now on there as well. So lots of places to find our show. Devin writes in, when I was a little girl of 4 years old, I had a problem at night. No, not monsters under the bed or in my closet. These monsters came from the corners of my room at night. Once my mom turned out the lights for the night, they would sleep out or sweep out of the shadows and physically try to harm me. They didn't work. They would try to convince me to hurt myself. I later learned that these were called shadow people, which you've talked about on your show. This went on for a while, and no one believed me at first. My grandmother would tell me that they were just night terrors, and they couldn't hurt me. Then I woke up with scratches all over my back, in places where I couldn't reach. The next night, when I screamed, my grandmother burst into the room in her nightgown with curlers in her hair. She wielded a broomstick, a handful of salts, and a particularly full mouth. My grandmother loved swearing and did it whenever possible. She attacked the shadow people and drove them off. Then she ripped me out of bed and took me to her room for the night. After that point, my grandmother, who was teaching me how to be the perfect housewife at the time, began teaching witchcraft. She'd swear to me in secrecy every day, and if anyone asked, I was to tell them that we made cupcakes that day, or cheese and butter, or whatever. Sometimes she'd be too lazy to actually make cupcakes to cover up our tracks, so she would sit there talking with me about herbs and spirits while she'd peel the paper of store-bought cupcakes and replace them with her own. This went on for a few years. She even convinced my mom to keep me out of kindergarten the first year I was supposed to go to teach me. Before long, I could fend off the shadow people myself. The trick is salts and threats of violence for anyone who is having problems with shadow people. Well, this is how I got started in my path and the shadow people I had to deal with. I hope this story was interesting and helpful to you guys and your listeners. If you want more, I'll happily supply them. As I said, I have lots of experiences to share. Thank you for listening to my story. Devin.
Okay, I want to know more about the salt.
And threats of violence?
And threats of violence.
I don't really see how threats of violence to shadow people would be all that convincing.
I don't know.
I get the salts and, you know, when you get into that sort of stuff, that has places.
Mm-hmm.
Threatening violence on a ghost, I've never really seen that work out all that well.
Okay.
So I'm wondering if the threats were just kind of part of it,
mm-hmm.
but the more effective was some of the things going on behind the scenes.
Yeah.
But I would be interested to hear more.
Yeah, I would too. Now I know how to get around making cupcakes for the schools. Just go get some and then change out the little
Oh, yes. On them. We made these at home while teaching my daughters how to be a witch. 855-853-4802. That's our number here at Real Ghost Stories Online. Anonymous writes in, when I was approximately 8 or 9 years old, I was sleeping in my older sister's old bedroom shortly after she moved out. Before this particular night, strange little things would happen and I would often get nightmares. My bed was against the wall and I was facing away from the wall with the panda between my back and the wall. I had slept with a stuffed panda that night. When I woke up in the middle of the night, I rolled over and saw a dead body. My face was inches away from this dead face, eyes wide open, mouth open, and severely mutilated. There was a look of terror in the eyes. I only saw this for a moment, and it was no nightmare. I jumped out of bed and turned the light on, and it was just the panda. I grabbed that panda and threw it in the basement and shut the door. I believe from the shock of it all, I just went back to bed. I didn't scream or cry or anything. I wasn't really even that scared. When I woke up the next morning, I opened the basement door, and the panda was still there. This is when I started to freak out, because I knew it truly happened. Years later, I found out a family lived in our house before us, and the man was an evil person. He'd pee in the front yard and expose himself in the family area. He'd beat his wife and rape his children. The older neighbors who lived in the area the longest saw him being taken away by the police one day, but didn't really know why. Around this time that I saw the dead, the crows would caw at our house. In our culture, crows are a sign of evil. My brother and sister would see and hear very disturbing things as well. My brother would hear the man upstairs yelling at a woman and hitting her while she screamed and cried. He would run upstairs expecting to see our mom and dad, but they wouldn't be home or would be sleeping. My sister wouldn't have severe nightmares of being raped in her room or being beat up. I grew up in that house, and my father died in that house. We have a very happy and normal upbringing, except the odd time the past would manifest itself.
Okay. Do you think that is all residual or not?
The panda experience seems to be not a residual thing. The other things seem to sound a bit residual, but I would venture to say that there's something there that's trying to torment that family, and it's not just a residual haunting.
Okay.
Especially if it's showing up in dreams, and it's trying to manipulate. It's trying to still cause terror.
Okay.
What would really suck for that family, especially the parents, is the fact that you were providing a nice home, good upbringing, and you want your home to be a happy place. Mm-hmm. And a happy place for your children to come back to someday. These kids probably want nothing to do with going back to the family home. And the parents really had nothing to do with it. They were being good parents.
Exactly.
But they were completely screwed by this past energy that was still rambling around.
Mm-hmm.
When you go back to the beginning of all of this with the horrible person that had lived there prior, I then begin to wonder, was that person like, was there a paranormal thing going on there, or was it just a horrible person? And because it was a horrible person and a horrible energy that is probably now dead and is now still tormenting people, was there something paranormal involved with that person initially? And I don't know. I think in some cases there's just horrible people and there's absolutely nothing paranormal to them.
Yeah.
And it's just horrible, evil people with no ghosts involved, but they're the ones that, when they come back as a ghost, I think are the ones that obviously most time get confused for something demonic,
mm-hmm.
when really it's just a horrible person in death as well.
Sure.
So, I don't know, very interesting. And in some cases, there's something very dark going on around that person too.
Yeah.
But, I don't know, interesting story. JR writes in, before I tell my story, I'd like to first say I love the show and that I am a new listener. Well, welcome to the show, JR. I listen at night before bed, which is now turning out to be a bad idea. In fact, I've come up with a title I thought would be fitting for my story, if you don't mind. Please call this Don't Change That Channel, or dial, or however they say it on radio. Okay, so about 2 weeks ago, I started looking up paranormal talk show podcasts or radio shows and listened to a bunch of them. When I found your show, I was instantly hooked. Now it's a part of my nightly routine. I listen in the dark while looking at the night sky through the window in my room. I try to listen all the way through most times, but I usually get spooked and go to bed or fall asleep because I'm super tired. Well, last night I decided to switch it up and listen to another program, Dun Dun Dun. After a bit of starting to doze off and fall asleep, now a quick note to myself, I hardly ever wake up in the middle of the night unless it's from like dry mouth or a tornado, a marching band in my room. And another note, I fall asleep with earpieces in and the show's still going. All right, so I awoke suddenly, and the first thing I noticed was the voices of the talk show host speaking. I don't know why, but it was like I already knew what they were going to talk about. Maybe my brain was still absorbing in the show while I was asleep, but before they continued, I could feel that they were going to talk about sleep paralysis or shadows, and they did. It was a lady talking about waking up in the middle of the night and seeing something at the foot of her bed, staring at her while she slept. She said something like, it would always watch me sleep. That was enough for me. I threw off my earpieces and covered my head under the pillow, trying to sleep again. Was this some kind of sign from the spirit to me? Was it a coincidence? Art Bell would kick my ass for even saying the word coincidence. There's no such thing. Well, long story short, I took a look around the room and saw nothing, so I fell asleep again. Did a spirit wake me up just so I could hear that lady say those things? Is it my fault for changing the station, channel, show, whatever? Are the brewskis putting spells on us? Dun, dun, dun. I'm sitting here typing this while sneaking a peek occasionally around the room. Needless to say, I'm taking a night off from listening to the radio. Please be merciful, oh powerful brewskis. Well, that's my story for now. Hope you liked it.
That was fun.
We do put hidden subliminal messages in all of our shows. And if you are able to identify them, you get a free dollar menu item at McDonald's. I'm loving it.
Yeah, you better not.
That's the new one. I'm kidding.
Somebody's going to try and cash in on that.
I'm kidding. There's no subliminal messages. So.
No, there's not. I think it's just a case of noticing things more because of listening to the shows.
Sure.
Now, as far as thinking you're knowing what they're going to say ahead, you know, that could be part of that in between awake and asleep state.
Sure.
Kind of fading in and out.
I, quite honestly, I mean, I would put money that at some point in the show, we're going to talk about a shadow person at some point or something's going to be alluded to.
Mm-hmm.
Just because we do so many stories in one show. Mm-hmm. We don't just focus usually on one topic. I mean, some shows, but a majority are multiple stories. And usually a shadow person rears its head at some point. So you can pretty much bet that will happen. Sleep paralysis, I'd say every other show, every third show, there's some mention of it.
Mm-hmm.
So your odds are pretty good.
Yeah.
That these things are going to happen. But even more so, what I would say may be happening here, and maybe you need to go back and listen to that show to make sure that you really heard what you thought you heard.
Mm-hmm.
Because I have that too, where if I'm falling asleep and listening to something, and it typically is nothing paranormal, it's like an episode of Frasier.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm listening to that show, I already know what's going to happen because I've watched every episode God knows how many times. But what will happen with me in my mind is once my mind is drifted off, I will start hearing different lines that are not part of the show. Like my mind just starts to take the show somewhere else. And then I'm sitting there halfway asleep going, wait a second, that's not part of this episode. That doesn't happen. And then I wake up and it's not a deep sleep, but I'm still there. I'm conscious enough to be able to wake up pretty easily, but I can wake up and go, oh, then I'm broken from whatever was going on, but the show's still playing.
Mm-hmm.
But all those things I thought I heard really were never on the show. It's just me thinking it. So I think that could very well be what was happening there. It's very convincing.
Yeah, I think so. I think it has to do with in between being awake and asleep.
Yeah. So I don't know how paranormal it is, but I mean, if you haven't figured out what's going on, it can be spooky.
Mm-hmm.
And you can very well think it is paranormal. But I think that could be what it is. Could be. Sonya writes in, one night I spent the night at my mother's house, and before I went to bed, I did a meditation. Shortly afterwards, I turned the light off and lay down. No more than a few minutes later, I felt a presence in the room. I sat up and saw a figure standing at the door. At first glance, I thought it was my mom, so I said, Mom, is that you? And it said nothing. I dealt with things like this all my life, so when my eyes fixated on it, I knew what it was. I spoke to it, saying, I know what you are, so get out of this room. Get out. I lay back down, and the worst happened. The entity jumped on and started choking me. I was screaming and fighting for my life. I wrestled with this thing, trying to get it off me for what seemed like forever. When I finally got his arms from around my neck, I screamed the name Jesus a few times, and that's when it jumped off me and ran away. When I opened my eyes, I was lying down in bed, and only 5 minutes had passed. I turned on the light in confusion. Because I knew that it wasn't a dream, I wasn't fully asleep, but I heard someone on the show that had a similar episode that I had on that you had on, and he said that he was between being awake and asleep. That's when I knew that was a spiritual fight between my spirit and the entity that came into my room. Thank you for your time.
Sleep paralysis?
Very likely.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to go there. You know, and when you have stories like that, I like to hear them because I think sometimes that is a comfort to people.
Mm-hmm.
To not hear that, oh, that everything is 100% paranormal.
Yeah.
You know, there's, you know, with almost any sleep paralysis situation, I would say there's a chance, but some are more glaringly sleep paralysis than others.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that can be a comfort just to hear that, okay, someone else has had a similar experience. This is somewhat normal and it's not a demon in my room. So I like having little things like that every now and then just to kind of, you know, remind people,
mm-hmm.
you know, especially if you're seeking it out. I remember when I had my weird sleep paralysis experience, I thought it was paranormal too. And I thought, you know, and I still don't know if it was or not, but I was at that time seeking out information. So I imagine there's a lot of people that come to our show to seek out information.
Sure.
To try and get some sort of confirmation. So, yeah, I would almost venture to say sleep paralysis there, but who knows?
Who knows?
For sure. Nick writes in, it all started in 2007. I had just graduated high school and began amateur ghost hunting through a coworker who had more experience than me. About a month after I started, I had a strange awakening one night. I was sleeping dead asleep at this time and had long hair that went right above my shoulders. I woke to someone pull the back of my hair. I turned over to see something hovering above my bedside table. The only way I could describe it is that it looked like the dog from The Nightmare Before Christmas, except it wasn't cute, with a bright nose on it. It had tribal markings all over, its body and eyes like gears. I was used to this by now and calmly said, "Leave me alone, I'm trying to sleep." I turned over and fell back asleep. Two nights later, the same thing woke me up to someone pulling my hair. Turned over and saw the dog, and it told me the same thing, and I never saw it again. After this incident, my family went through hardship. We lost our house. My dad lost his job. I love you guys. Your podcast is a great way to pass the time at work. Keep up the good work, and I hope to hear my story and many other stories soon.
I almost wonder if something came home with them after doing some, what he said, amateur ghost hunting.
Mm-hmm.
I have no idea what looks like the dog from Nightmare Before Christmas with gear wheel eyes, though that's a new description.
Yeah. Do you think the hardship has anything to do with it? A lot of times people associate when things like this happen as like almost an omen or there's a lot of people who really get into the ghost hunting hard.
Mm-hmm.
And then afterwards it's, you know, negative things are, you know, becoming of their lives, seemingly uncontrollable.
Yeah.
Things that really have nothing to do with the individual, but affect them directly.
I don't know. It could be. It's tough to know.
It
and
is.
I don't know why exactly that happens when people do the ghost hunting and then they have a run of bad luck.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's hard to say if it's something that's trying to, you know, just manipulate and make life difficult, or if it's just timing, you know. I mean, it's somewhat, you know, when you have bad things happen, you are always searching for a reason why.
Mm-hmm.
So I would imagine in some cases, the easy explanation would be, well, I was just at this house where these horrible things happened to these people. Did something follow me? And I would venture to say in some cases, I mean, I think it's very situational.
Yeah.
Some cases, sure, you got an argument. In some cases, no, sometimes life just sucks.
Right.
You know, but I don't know. It's difficult.
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk about this letter that I got in from one of our listeners in the Traverse City area. And this is regarding a place that was originally the Traverse City State Hospital. And it was creepy as hell. Sat abandoned for several years, has been rehabilitated into something called Traverse City Commons. And if, you know, it looks very nice. I mean, it looks spooky.
Yeah.
But it has, you know, a creepiness to it.
Well, it's that gothic architecture.
Sure, which gives off that feeling no matter what.
Mm-hmm.
I give him a lot of credit for rehabilitating a massive campus and structure, and they're still continuing to do it. There's still abandoned buildings on this property that are still big behemoths, you know, stone buildings, and didn't just go, well, these are old and crappy, let's tear them all down. But at the same point, there was a lot of unhappiness that was within those walls, you know, over the course of 100 years as it was an active, you know, hospital, quote unquote. Here's some of this, some stories that came into us after talking about it the other day from one of our listeners in that area of Michigan. Okay, Tony, my stories aren't haunted. My daughters are, though. We had lunch together today, and I was telling her about our conversation. And she said, yeah, when I was a waitress at the restaurant and also when I worked as a phlebotomist in Munson, we all had unexplained experiences.
Okay.
And this should be fun. So let me get out of the way. My story. When I taught cooking, it was just a few years before they closed. I worked there in 1970. I taught the women in the women's ward, which is now one of the three buildings that they turned into assisted living. The names are the Willow, the Hawthorne, and the Evergreen. It was creepy way before it closed and not a happy place. The women I taught came from all ranges of backgrounds and many levels of begin, quote, insanity, unquote. Many had been dumped by their husbands for no other reason than the husband was tired of them. I found proof of this later in the courthouse records. It was so sad. More than half the time, the women were not even present for the hearing. The judge listened to the husband and condemned the woman to life in the asylum. One woman I had in class, who was ill only in that she'd been imprisoned for many years, drank toilet bowl cleaner when she learned her family would never be coming to see her, let alone let her out. She died a horrible death, as did many of the patients. So many suicides. There wasn't anywhere that you could go in that hospital that didn't have a horrible, oppressive feeling to it and an equally sad story. What's amazing is that it's beautiful and horrifying at the same time. The buildings and grounds are incredible. When it closed, we knew the person who ran it, and he gave us one of the last tours before people came in. Creepy doesn't come close. Old wooden wheelchairs, metal beds, rooms where they did shock therapy, all were there. There's a tunnel that runs from the state hospital to our regular hospital, which is called Munson. It was within these tunnels that they took the dead state patients to Munson's morgue. Even well lit and clean, it is so creepy. If the lights ever went out while you were going through it, you'd die of fright. Or at least, I would. Right after it closed, I wrote Stephen King and told him that if he ever wanted the scariest set ever for a movie, he should get there before they changed anything. He never answered. Although he did make that, this is me talking now, that Kingdom Hospital series, which, if you look at it, looks relatively like this place.
Really?
So I wonder if there was any inspiration there.
Could be.
Okay, so on to my daughter, Carmen. She worked as a waitress for the restaurant for a few years, and she said that all of them saw fleeting movements in one of the rooms where they sat people. I know which one she means, but it's hard to describe because the restaurant consists of many little rooms. She also said that at night, the whole staff would come to the kitchen to hear and sample the evening specials. All of the staff felt as if many people were with them listening and participating. She went on to say that a common complaint was yet in another room. Carmen had an experience there as well. She said that she was waiting on a family and someone put a hand on her shoulder and whispered in her ear. She couldn't hear what was said, but she thought it was a coworker who played jokes with her. She whirled around and told him to stop, but no one was there. Later, when she went to work at the Munson Hospital as a phlebotomist, she had the nursing homes to do at 5 a.m. The assisted living places, they were called cottages, were part of her routine. She said whenever she went to the Evergreens on the second floor to draw blood for the patients, she'd hear many people talking and joking. She described it like you would hear if you walked into a hotel crowded lobby. She'd catch movements too and was so afraid of what she'd see. She'd just look at the floor and keep walking. She also said she would hear what sounded like nurses getting their patients ready for the day, only to turn the corner or pass the room and no one would be there. So because of this conversation today, we decided that we would have taken pictures, or we should have taken pictures, and paid closer attention to what's most definitely the most haunted place in Traverse City. Therefore, Tony and Jenny, We're going to go on a public tour sometime this week at the hospital to visit the parts that remain untouched. We'll take pictures, and if they tell us more stories, we will share them as well. Carmen hates ghost stories, which makes this so funny. She's going for her master's at a chemistry high school teacher. She graduated from Michigan State in physics and geology and is probably your age. She's 35. She and her husband have two young girls. I guess that's why she and I haven't spoken of this until now.
Wow.
Sue. So there you go. Now you know. Sue, thank you so much for the letter. And I would love to see those pictures if you manage to get on that tour. We really, really appreciate that.
Yes.
Now you know a little bit more about, and I know a little bit more too, because I was unaware of just how effed up that place was as a hospital. I mean, you hear horror stories and, you know, the way that things were conducted back in those days at asylums.
Right.
You know, I was unaware that, you know, people were subjected or admitted is what I should say. I'm aware of the subjection and all of that thing. But I was unaware that people could be admitted like that.
Mm-hmm.
That's insane.
Mm-hmm.
Were you aware that happened?
Honey, I'm a psychology major.
Sure.
I'm a little aware of that.
That's disturbing. And that, I mean, that would certainly make, I mean, if someone who doesn't have any sort of mental issues, that's a great way to develop them.
Well, I'm sure you've heard people say the threat, especially older people, I'll have you committed.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
That's what that means.
It's just because it was more of
it was more doable back then.
Yeah. Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's disturbing.
Yeah.
Sue, thank you for the stories. I have nothing else to say, but that's a messed up place. But hey, now you could have a wonderful gourmet dinner there.
Now do you understand
shop
why
at some boutiques?
I would not get out of the car?
Yeah. I understand.
Sorry.
I can't imagine going there and living as like in an assisted living. God.
Mm-mm.
Here'd be the ultimate nightmare. Okay? You were someone who was subjected to being admitted there by a horrible husband who wanted to get rid of you. Somehow, some way, maybe when the hospital closed down, you were let go. Mm-hmm. You were able to get your life back together after being subjected to such horrible treatment and live out the rest of your life until you got old. Maybe you had a family. Maybe you had kids. Maybe somebody else, some family came back around.
Mm-hmm.
And then you got to the point where you needed care and assisted living care. And you weren't necessarily able to speak for yourself anymore. And your family puts you right back at the state hospital.
That would be the worst. But I don't know that many of the patients got to leave.
That's true. I'm just saying, like, timeline?
Mm-hmm.
Could be a possibility.
Yes.
Not for many.
It could be.
But it could be a possibility. Granted now, I mean, it's nowhere near what it used to be.
Mm-hmm.
But just having to go back to that building, you know, oh my God.
Yeah.
You know, especially when, you know, there's a lot of folks, you know, in assisted living that have one form of dementia or the other, where the main part of their memory that they're operating on is still stuck back 30, 40 years.
Yes.
So they're not grasping, oh God, this is redone and it's nice and kind of boutique-y and probably fairly expensive to be in and you're going to get treated really well. They're just saying, oh shit, I'm back here.
Well, they probably, if they have dementia really bad and they can only really remember way, way back in the day, they probably don't realize they ever got to leave if they got to leave.
That's true. Horrible.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Sue, for sharing that story with us. And like I said, we'd love to see their pictures, or the pictures that you guys take if you manage to get onto that that tour. What is really creepy about the campus is the fact that you have the really nice, newly redone, you know, boutiqued up version of it. And then right across the parking lot there is the couple buildings that have not yet gotten to.
Yeah.
And the windows are broken and it's falling apart and it still looks like something out of a horror movie. It all looks like something out of a horror movie, but even more so those parts. And it's just a lot of weird energy there, even from the parking lot.
Mm-hmm.
So there you go. Hey, did you hear about this?
I probably didn't.
Krampus.
What?
Legendary Pictures, this is major motion picture, not B-class horror film. Krampus, a darkly festive tale of Yuletide ghoul, is coming to a theater this holiday season.
Okay, I know that's like the ultimate Christmas movie for you.
When his dysfunctional family clashes over the holidays, young Max is disillusioned and turns his back on Christmas. Little does he know, this lack of festive spirit has unleashed the wrath of Krampus, a demonic force of ancient evil intent on punishing non-believers. All hell breaks loose as beloved holiday icons take on a monstrous life of their own, laying siege to the fractured family's home and forcing them to fight for each other if they hope to survive.
I take it it's not going to be for a family?
That's one we're going to make a tradition of watching before the girls go to bed on Christmas Eve.
No, I don't think so.
You better been a good girl this year. No, I don't think so. But one of the characters in it is, I'm horrible with actors' names. And
you are horrible with actors' names.
Recognizing who's who. But, and I can't recall it right now, but I'm sure you will. The guy who played Michael in Arrested Development is going to be in this film.
Now
who's horrible with actors' names?
It's Justin Bateman.
Yeah, you're right. There you go. Damn it.
Jason.
Jason Bateman.
Yeah, his sister's Justine. That's what I was thinking.
So, I recognize faces. So it's just a big film.
Okay.
It's going to be creepy and just in time for the holidays. I was looking for a trailer today, and I don't think they've released one yet. But I've had several listeners email me links to this going, Have you seen this, Tony? Yes, I have. And thank you for making me aware.
Thank you so much for that.
New holiday traditions in the Brewski house. Oh. Do you think there's going to be a lot of families that now start practicing Krampus shit because of the movie?
Krampus on the shelf instead of Elf on the shelf. Kind of crap.
Yeah, like where it's like, well, the Elf on the shelf doesn't seem to make the kids behave all that well, so it looks like we must resort to Krampus.
Yeah, maybe.
All right, that wraps up today's episode. If you like the show, please consider supporting it. Sign up on the website to be an EPP Extra Podcast Person. It is only $5 a month. You get access to all of our bonus episodes, 40-some of those. Access to our Too Old for iTunes episodes. There's roughly 50 of those up there. Exclusive video content and more stuff gets added all the time, every single week. Lots of great material only for our EPPs. Sign up, and your $5 a month keeps our show in the air. So that's how we keep this thing going. So please support the show because we love doing it, and we'll do it as long as you guys allow us to. So check that out, realghoststoriesonline.com. Click Become an EPP. Until next time, for Jenny Brewski, I'm Tony Brewski. Thanks for listening to another episode of Real Ghost Stories Online.